Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Red Men TV. It's the Centre Match Build-Up Show. I'm Paul Machin. That man right there is Chris Pajak. Chris,
just the two of us today, mate.
Just the two of us. Yes, except no. We're also joined by John Machin and Emma Sanders as well for this one via live satellite link up. We will be talking to them about this game in a moment. But yes, Chris, Jürgen Klopp's talked last week about, you know, rocking up to Brighton, dazed, confused, discombobulated and almost giving them the points.
I missed that presser.
I'm paraphrasing it just slightly. I think all of us will be able to let go the Atalanta game, the performance.
Oh, it's forgotten, mate. Elite mentality in this fan channel.
But only if we're able to put a better performance in against Brighton.
Oh, yeah. If we lose against Brighton now, after being subjected to that midweek, I'm going to find him with a baseball bat and beat him up. Oh, yeah, maybe I've gone a little bit too far, but I really didn't enjoy the Atalanta game and the fact that I had to speak about it and stuff. But no, we know, I think everybody knows this, don't they, is that this week will be judged on whether we get 3 points in the Premier League or not, which makes this actually a very high-pressure game against Brighton now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see. Dad, I mean, you were, for one, on the Final Word show, were quite critical of the team selection and how it it's left us with work to do in the Champions League when we ideally wouldn't have wanted that to be the case. So, I mean, surely now, again, there's no way we don't go as close to full strength as possible for Brighton.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, I expect us to win all our Premier League games. I mean, we lose so few games. I mean, in Europe, we've always messed about, haven't we, in qualifying. We've always made hard work of it. But in the league, we always rise to the occasion and get a win. And I fully expect we'll do the same. I mean, I say full strength. I mean, you know, who does he play at right full back? Who does he play at centre back? You know, his choices are very limited. Even in midfield, unless some of the injuries or some of those people come back, then our midfield choices are very limited as well. Expect us to win.
Yeah, I mean, Emma, it's a great point by me dad there. The midfield thing, it's all well and good as talking about rotation. It's all well and good talking about who we bring in and a stronger team. But unless Jordan Henderson or Thiago Alcantara or, you know, miraculously Naby Keita come back in, it's probably going to have to be more of the same, really.
Yeah, I mean, I would be surprised if Thiago or Henderson aren't in the squad at least. But yeah, it's... This is a problem, isn't it? Is that, you know, and this is kind of what I was saying on the Final Word show earlier, is that, you know, we can sit here and talk about the lineups, but we don't really have too many options. So, I mean, the good thing is that, for me, one of Brighton's key players, Tariq Lamptey, is obviously going to be suspended. So that's a big help for Liverpool in terms of, you know, looking at the fullback position. So I'd like to probably see James Milner back there for some of the game, but obviously because, you know, he played in the Champions League, I don't know how much he's got left in the legs, but I think we'll have Fabinho back in the back line and I think Robertson will obviously start at left back, so hopefully that leaves us with enough bodies in midfield. You know, if Henderson or Thiago can come back and play in alongside Ronaldo and Curtis Jones, I think that's probably the ideal scenario, but who knows?
I think we've got one more option in midfield that we're probably forgetting about, and that's because of the availability of Nat Phillips for this game. And if Nat Phillips can play alongside Joel Matip, then you've actually got Fabinho. Whether Thiago or Henderson comes back in, you can play Fabinho, you can play Wijnaldum, you can play Kerr Jones, you still get to put Milner at right back. So for me, that would be at the forefront of my mind, to be honest. But Emma's absolutely right. The Lamptey thing and him getting sent off in the last game is huge for us, because he's their most dangerous player and he would ask real questions of our left-hand side.
There's no shortage of good players in that Brighton side, I guess. But you're right, the rotation thing is going to be interesting to see, because I wonder whether the decision to not start Fabinho in midweek is a...
And then to bring him on in centre mid.
Yeah, true. But whether it's to try and keep him and Matip, you couldn't start both of them. And you want to start both of them, whether it's designed that you split them for this week. So, and I know we didn't, because they end up there and Matip comes off very late, doesn't he, in the game. But there's a possibility there where it could be Reece Williams again. And you're right, it could be Nat Phillips again. And it might just be, again, we're massaging the squad through this. So I don't think it will. I think the fact that because of how the substitutions were used, I would fully expect to see Matip and Fabinho back in there, because it's trying to put the best possible team that we've got available out to us in these kind of games. But I also wouldn't be shocked to see him go, well, this is how I'm managing my squad. I've only got two senior centre halves, as it were. So Matip, having played a lot of football, might actually just not be able to go again in this game. So it's Fabinho plus another, and again that leaves us, it's going to leave us short one way or the other in midfield.
I suppose the one good thing that we've got going for us at the moment is that, you know, by all accounts Matip didn't pick up an injury last night, but there's only having a couple of days between games, we're not training, so unless he does fall down a grid, he's probably not going to get injured at some point, because these are now two recovery days before Saturday morning.
It's not so much that though, is it? It's that, what does playing another game do for him? You know what I mean? It's not that he's going to be injured in the build-up to it. Is that if you ask Matip to play another 90 minutes, does he make?
I don't know, but I'll tell you this: I don't think any of the lads really expended a lot of energy midweek.
By the end, yeah. Dad, what do you want to talk about?
Well, I mean, Matip is one of the problems, isn't he? Because his injury record isn't great anyway. And are we expecting him to play again on Saturday and then again next Tuesday? It seems to me that he's going to miss one of those games. And if he misses the Brighton game, then obviously Fabinho's got to play in the back four. The other one is Milner. I mean, can he play? He's just played 90 minutes. Is he going to play at right back after playing 90 minutes in midfield? I mean, that's a big call if that happens. You know, yeah, I know he's a bit of an iron man, but it seems to me a bit of a stretch to play him again.
Yeah, I agree with John there. And I think, you know, the only thing that's positive is that in a week or so's time, by the end of the Champions League groups, you'd expect Trent Alexander-Arnold to be back in. So maybe it is just a case of you're going to have to push Milner through the next three games. Hopefully, you know, Nico might come back in against Ajax. But again, for me, I'm like, Nat Phillips has to start this game at the weekend, because he can't start the midweek game against Ajax again. So at least you get to rest one of your centre-halves.
Yeah.
And not necessarily rest them, to be honest, because Fabinho could quite easily, as I say, play centre-mid. But again, kind of don't be surprised if Fabinho plays alongside Nat Phillips.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we saw Joel play, was it 84 minutes before Taki Minamino came on or whatever? So maybe that is the thinking. Maybe it was a case of, right, Fabinho is going to come as centre half at the weekend, play 30 minutes midweek in midfield, a slightly easier game in defence at the heart of that with Nat Phillips at the weekend. It's very interesting, very difficult to call.
Well, exactly, because again, you mentioned there, it's another 3 days to Ajax after this. And it's, whatever you do, whoever gets pushed hard in this game is not going to be is less likely to be pushed hard in Ajax. So you're having that knock-on effect of, you know, I think, you know, we saw it at the other week, didn't we, where Matip and Fabinho come in at centre-half and the great against Leicester. That is our obviously first choice centre-back pairing. So I imagine we'll try our best to get that on the pitch for all the games that truly matter.
But again, that's impacted by Keita being fit.
Well, yeah.
So Fabinho's not in the middle because you've got three recognised midfielders.
But does Brighton matter more than Ajax, given that we've not guaranteed the group? Ajax has got more import, but also will Klopp go, now that it's in that situation, will he go, I just need to beat Midtjylland now? you know, and that's where I'm thinking. But that, you know, we can't know until the team lines up, Emma.
Yeah, I just wanted to also kind of put it out there that I wouldn't be too surprised if we saw rotation in the back line during the game as well. So, you know, I wouldn't be overly surprised if we saw a scenario where Fabinho starts at centre-back and then moves to right-back halfway through the game, and him and Joel Matip play half and half. So, yeah, it's going to be really interesting. But like the point there about the Ajax game, for me, I think the fact that there is that third option of obviously qualifying against Midtjylland, that you think Brighton's got to be the priority, surely.
You know, Dad, you mentioned Milner. I mean, if there's one man who, but I mean, he's not going to play loads of footy in the season in an ideal world. So I don't think he personally would have any qualms about playing again. But again, there's people who understand these things better than we can possibly know, sat at home or sat in the studio or whatever, and what these lads are physically capable of. But again, if it boils down to a choice, if you tell James Milner he's got no choice but to play, you know, again, we saw it in his post-match interview. I don't think he's asked about there being a back like a footy. He's definitely a man. He was clearly going, I'll play every game I can.
Milner will play every single game if you let him. I mean, but it sort of flies in the face of everything that we're being told, that the medical people will tell you who's fit and who isn't to play. Yeah. And, you know, Milner can't play every single game, no matter what you say. So, you know, are you going to let him take a chance by playing again? Because he can get injured just like anyone else, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. It's a bit like we talk about this, about like it being a little bit like storming the beach in World War II, is that unfortunately there's someone like Milner is like, someone's got to fall on a bullet at some point, because if you can't rotate, if you don't have the bodies to rotate, we will inevitably have to ask someone to go into the red, you know, to push the body to the absolute limits. And at the moment, again, it comes down to us, and hopefully, fingers crossed, Henderson might be back. Thiago might be back. We're crossing our fingers and toes that we have that, because the alternative, Chris, and look, it's a possibility because we've seen it a couple of times this season, is we might have to change formation, because that's the only other option available to us. If you can't put three midfielders on the pitch, then put two, because we're not short of options in the attacking position.
Yeah, that's it. And then does Bobby or Taki play the 10? Or if Shaqiri's available, can he play a 10 for us? Or, you know, that's the thing, that at the moment, we're kind of lucky, is that we've got Mane, we've got Jota, we've got Salah, we've got Firmino, and we've got those other two lads in Origi and Taki as well to back them up. So, yeah, we've got options. The worrying thing is we've not looked good in a 4-2-3. When you mentioned this on the final word show, didn't you? Is that we've just looked a little bit disjointed. I mean, I've actually liked us in the 4-2-2-2 whenever we've played that over the last sort of 12 months. Maybe that's an option for us. Maybe that suits our players slightly more. Gives Bobby the option of moving from that 9 into that 10 position, which just kind of plays into his hand rather than being stood there and people just finding him because that's his one position. But we've still got a few options available to us. I mean, if Hendo comes back, he could play right back. Emma mentioned Fabinho could play right back. I think Robbo or Tsimikas could easily switch over and play the right side right back if we needed to. We're not so desperate that if Milner goes down, and Nico as well.
Sure.
You know, we're not so desperate at the moment in the fullback positions, especially with Trent hopefully coming back in about a week and a half, 2 weeks.
Fingers crossed. Maybe, you know, could even be sooner than that. Yeah, fingers crossed on all that, certainly. Yeah, Liverpool have got options to massage the way through it if need be, without a doubt. I mean, the alternative to this, Dad, is that you ask one of those other lads, you ask Bobby, you ask Taki to say, can you go and do a midfield three role? Is another side. And I think they've both got the skill sets perfectly suited to be able to do that. Maybe there's a slight level of tactical discipline that you're missing, but, you know, for a one-off against a team that, look, Liverpool should be stronger than, I can think of worse options.
There's a lot of options, isn't there? I mean, Jota could drop back in there. Mane's done that in the past. You know, make up the extra body in midfield. There's lots and lots of options. I mean, I expect Jota to play, and I expect Mane and Salah to play, and Bobby. So, you just fit the rest of the team around those four.
Adam Lallana, first time meeting up with him, Emma, since his move. I mean, it was lovely to see. I mean, it's funny. I was doing this on LFC this week and talking about Lallana thing and how fondly remembered he is. It's nice, isn't it? He's one of those footballers where there were loads of people who really didn't like Adam Lallana for whatever reasons. And I'm sure they will all be ready to rear their ugly heads if he either has a stinker or he comes back to haunt us. But yeah, I mean, it's nice. I think it's nice that we get to look back on a player like Adam Lallana, who was never less than a very talented and dedicated servant at his time at Liverpool.
Yeah, and he was a good signing for Brighton. You know, he's done well there. You know, he's not been a standout player. He was never going to be that, really. But he's been a solid player for them. He looks like he's enjoying his football. And yeah, he's still had a couple of little niggly injuries, bless him. But no, it'll be great to see him back. And I think Liverpool will be obviously wary of him. We know that he's good technically on the ball, and he's created some chances for Brighton this season, so he's definitely one to watch. But yeah, I mean, I think it's just nice, isn't it? Like, there's not really anything else to say. It's just nice.
You know, he's got a European Cup winner's medal, and he's got a World Club Championship medal, and he's got a Premier League medal. Now, had he not, he would just have probably been one of them. Yeah, he was all right, but he wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
You know, we've had so many of those players over the years.
Well, the Lucas Leiva love. People remember Lucas Leiva really fondly, but what did he win? He won a League Cup, but didn't even, because he was injured at the time. You're right, he'd be remembered in those times, but it's funny that in years to come, he's going to be, when people look back on like the great Liverpool sides of the past, there's probably a bunch of players who played in those great 70s and 80s teams who weren't Kenny Dalglish. But
then a name. Yeah. Like, Ross will still be talking about that Burnley game when he came on for years and years to come. And because it's massive in the grand scheme of the title and everything, isn't it? And, you know, that goal against Manchester United, you know, the draw away from home there. You know, there were so many moments for him. And he is a good player. And our players might know what footed he is. And if he manages to Lallana turn our players, I will be fuming, because they should all know exactly what he's going to do every time he receives the ball.
It's why I want Jordan Henderson back in this game, because they're best mates, and I love that like spirit of competition in there. Yeah. Up against Lallana will be the same, but getting Jordan Henderson in against his best mate and having them just kick lumps out of each other in the middle of the park would definitely be good fun. Right, we're going to take a very short break. When we're back, we're going to discuss whether it's time to rest Mane. Does really, you know, a little bit of a deeper dive on the centre-half perhaps, and of course with Ajax on the horizon, whether that influences any more of the team selection stuff. But before we go, we've got a trivia question to keep you tied over. Who was the last Liverpool player before Adam Lallana to play for Brighton? I asked before the break, who was the last Liverpool player to play for Brighton? Jad, any ideas?
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
No clue.
No clue. Emma, any ideas?
I actually think I've just plucked this name out of nowhere.
Go on.
How do you pronounce it? Is it like Teixeira? Didn't he go on loan there or something? Was it on loan?
Wow.
Emma, this is why you are a professional.
Oh, look at that. That's it now.
There you go. Congratulations.
I'm retiring. Wow. Later.
See you later, yeah. Anne. Bye.
And you're done. Fantastic. Peaked.
Wow. Peaked, yeah. Never in a million years.
Yep. Got the Brighton Young Player of the Year Awards.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah. There you go. Okay, fantastic. If you got that, give yourself a massive pat on the back and treat yourself with a RedmenTV.com subscription.
Go on, Emma.
Thanks, guys.
Chris, as we said this, we talked about him on the final word show. We've hinted at a couple of these bits so far, but Sadio Mane, he's in that clutch of players now. Andy Robertson got his rest. A couple of players who needed a rest are getting rest because they're injured. There's a big red warning light for me going off over the head of Sadio Mane. Surely, like, I know he's so physically strong and he's been so resilient for so long, but surely this is the game where he gets a rest.
I'd guess so, but you know, Jürgen doesn't seem to ever bother to rest him. You know, I always think, well, he played the midweek, so he's not going to start. And then by the time the starting 11 rolls around, that's what I've convinced myself. And by the time the game's rolled around, Jürgen's convinced everyone otherwise, and that Mane's going to be okay. But I'm kind of a bit with John, to be honest. You know, John said he expected all four of them to start, so the front three plus Jota. It makes sense to me that Jota just slips into Mane's position and Firmino plays with Salah.
Yeah.
But Klopp doesn't ever really do the obvious thing.
No, I know. And I think I wonder whether Klopp's been leading towards this, Dad, because, you know, when he talks about what sides he's able to put out and given the rotation, I don't think, as much as I think we will, there'll be loads of changes from the midweek, I think the reason we made so many changes is because he does want to go very strong for this game. And he'll figure out who's available for Ajax off the back of it, which feels a little bit odd to me, but it wouldn't shock me, right, if Mane goes again, if Jota comes in, Firmino, Salah, because let's face it, that's our best foot forward in this situation.
Yeah, I mean, I think Klopp set himself on that path, hasn't he? And I think he's got to stay on it now until it runs its course. So I fully expect him to play as strong as possible 11. I mean, which may not be all that strong in some areas. But you're right. And then pick up the pieces for Ajax after that. You know, yeah. Brighton is now the priority and 3 points is the priority.
Going the other way of things, and if he's working both games back to back, then it would make sense to say to Mane, actually, you know what, maybe not have the full game off, but I've 60 off here, and you're the sub. Jota plays 60, Mane plays 30. That feels like a sensible option.
I think it'll be the other way around. I think he'll play him and maybe take him off after 60. Yeah. You know, and that's he didn't do that the other day, but I mean that may have been his mistake. I think you play your strongest team, get the game won, and then you rest them later on in the game.
I think the encouraging thing for this one, Emmett, is that, you know, Mohamed Salah, he's obviously had that little bit of a break over the international, but he wouldn't have been training the same way because of obviously coronavirus and what have you. He's had that game now to get himself back up to speed, so he should be absolutely fine to come into this. Bobby Firmino, who finally found a little bit of form at the weekend, has largely had, you know, the midweek off as well, so he should be ready for it. And Jota's had a little bit of rest in there, so really, again, if we go with Mane, it's because Mane's boss, let's be honest. But aside from that, the other options about other good lads, they're all actually primed to play in this game one way or the other.
Yeah, I actually think the front line is the easiest selection because, as you say, they're all pretty fresh apart from Mane. But I'm sort of along the same lines as John, really. I'd start all four and then perhaps see Mane come off for Minamino later on in the game, depending on how he's holding up. But I don't think Klopp will be having too much of an eye on Ajax in terms of the front three, because I think we've seen those players and the way that they play. They can play, you know, two games in 3-4 days. We've seen them do that plenty of times. So I expect to see at least three of the four, if not all four, start both games.
Yeah, it's we've been having this massive conversation for a couple of weeks now, Chris, but, you know, there might just be a point to it. We said this a lot. Defenders, generally speaking, they don't expend energy quite like anyone else. You know, they're far, far less than any other position that we play on the field. So a normal centre-half wouldn't need loads of rotation. I mean, Virgil van Dijk was, up to a point, was absolutely superhuman. Mm. But you don't necessarily need to rotate too much. Are we being a bit too fearful around the Matip stuff, do you think? And just a case of, just, I mean, you're, as you said as well, you can't, injury-prone players, you don't get to pick when they're fit. Like Daniel Sturridge was a good example of this. You know, you'd play 30, he'd be available for 30 games a season, but you never got to choose what them ones were. So while Matip is available, just
I said that on last week's build-up show, didn't I? I think, and you know, he's just as likely to pick up an injury in training or, you know, anywhere else, walking down the street, falling down a grid again, as anything else. So for me, you use Matip when he's available, and then you're putting your strongest foot forward, aren't you? Your best foot forward, even, because. I don't know why I'd say strongest, but I did, and I'm here, and I'm trying to get out of it. Yeah, he's just got one stronger foot than another.
Hench toes.
Yeah, he's been working out that foot. He's been lifting. But no, so use Matip, and again, I'm convinced that Phillips starts alongside Matip in this game, and Fabinho goes into the middle of the park, and we look to try and dominate, and we look to try and have that three-man midfield with Wijnaldum and probably Jones and Milner on the right-hand side, but Matip's going to be available for this game, and then you bring probably Reece Williams and maybe drop Fabinho back the next game. Mm-hmm. And that way, because for Fabinho, I think it's different. So let me try and explain this. Right, when you're training to be a midfielder, you have to put your body through a lot to be able to play that midfield role week in, week out. I don't think Fabinho has to expend anywhere near as much energy as a centre-half does because he's used, his capacity is much higher than Joel Matip's because he plays that midfield role. So him getting a little bit of a break, coming in for 30 minutes, then going a full game in the middle of the park, he can play 90 minutes against Ajax at centre-half with Reece Williams and Matip can have the Ajax game off maybe.
The only issue with the Fabinho stuff, Dad, is that having had a hamstring injury recently, that's something that you do, that so fatigue-related hamstrings, and it was something they'll have one eye on, because as much as we've got all our fearful gazes on Joel Matip, but they'll be playing it sensible with Fabinho because he's another player who's so important that they won't want to run the risk of wearing his hamstring down again.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know what you do about it, to be honest, because our midfield options are really restricted. And you can't keep playing Milner in midfield and Wijnaldum every game and Curtis Jones. Curtis Jones, 19, he's playing every game at the moment. Yeah. How long does that go on? It's just really difficult. But like Chris, I think Fabinho will play and play in midfield.
Yeah, I think John makes makes a really good point there about Curtis Jones, doesn't he? Because we should be fearful of that because we inconsistencies of youthful players as well, the burnout of these youthful players. That's a major issue. This is Curtis Jones isn't just playing for this season; he's playing for the next 10, and he don't want to burn him out now.
He needs to take a moment to step out to let all the experience of these games soak in. You know, you was talking about this. I thought about this to me lad sometimes, but I've pressed that button again, Chris, where it's sometimes you've got to like sleep on something in order for your new knowledge to permeate. You wake up better than you were the day before when you've done something, and young lads like that, the mental fatigue's the biggest thing because the body can handle it. Kurt Jones could probably play every 2 days because he's young, he's vital, he hasn't got the wear and tear on his body yet, but the psychological thing of he's just got to get himself right, and we have to be very careful with it. But unfortunately, again, it's a situation where we don't have an array of options.
And listen, I don't know where Adam Lallana will start. I think he's been, am I right in saying he's been sort of right of a centre midfielder position for Brighton so far? Like, I'd Curtis Jones, there's if they ever get head to head on the pitch, Lallana will probably be like, he's the reason I'm not in that squad no more or whatever. And Kay Jones has maybe got to put a little bit of a point to prove with Adam Lallana to say, like, this is why you're coming up against me and this is why I'm the future of this football club. So an interesting little sort of dynamic that could be going on in the middle of the park there. But we've got to be fearful of everybody at the moment. Yeah. To go back to your question about Joel, is we're teetering on the edge as a squad here. And you said it best yesterday, where that side that we put out could be our first team if we're not careful in 2 months' time.
And that's the thing, isn't it, Emma, is that that's what Liverpool and the coaching staff and the conditioning staff and all that, they'll be aware of that more than anything else. We're sat here going, what a poor team that Liverpool put out against Atalanta. But that's if you get an injury to Andy Robertson, Kostas Tsimikas is starting games of football. If we suffer another midfield injury, then it's going to be one of the. It's going to be Leighton Clarkson playing in midfield, or we're going to have no choice but to change formation. So yeah, you know that's the thing that they'll be doing everything in their power to safeguard against, because you know Liverpool are blessed with a wonderfully deep squad with so many talented footballers. But there is a breaking point of every single squad, and Liverpool just need to make sure they stay away from that whilst somehow simultaneously winning the Premier League and probably the Champions League at the same time.
Yeah, you're right. And it is that caution that I think Klopp is having to adopt over, you know, the next couple of weeks. And that's probably why he's, you know, kind of complaining after every game on, you know, different issues, whether it's referee or whatever. And he's well within his rights too, because it is frustrating for him, because it's, you know, he's not really setting up teams now to play a philosophy or play a style of football. He's setting up teams to manage injuries, which must be really, just really frustrating. But just on the kind of the Curtis Jones point, like, you know, I absolutely agree that, you know, you can't just keep playing him and playing him. But I think we look at this period and you hope it's a period of isolation, where if Curtis Jones just gets through three or four back-to-back games and we nurse Henderson and Thiago back, you know, we're expecting them back at any point. I don't really know, you know, where the delay has been with Thiago. So you hope that if Curtis Jones does have to play again on Saturday, then that's, you know, that might be the last or the second last of a run of consecutive games, and then he will have that time off. And I think that's probably the case with a lot of positions. So yeah, it is very much a matter of just getting through in terms of physical bodies for the next week or two, and then hopefully there'll be more numbers back.
You know, he's very used to having a small squad of players and making them play through the pain. But now, all of a sudden, they're playing through the pain and they're dropping. And that, you know, we're having to, they're probably having to learn a lot of things. In fact, this has been happening, you know, it's happening in all walks of life all across the world at the moment, where everyone's having to adapt what they do to fit the new world order kind of thing. And yeah, this is all going to be eased by just one or two lads coming back from, you know, coming back from injury and just giving everyone a little bit of respite. But it is something that's going to be an ongoing, it's going to happen all over the league, and it's not going to get easier as we head into December.
Well, I mean, the no pre-season stuff is probably really the most telling. I mean, Klopp gives so much store to that, and we haven't had that. So, I mean, we've got a whole season to go through, and it, actually surviving that long is going to be the trick. And you're going to need every man, you know, to do his part. And that's why I think we're going to see more of Minamino over the next few weeks, because, you know, he had one bad game and he's not really been seen much since. But, you know, before that, he did show some really good touches. And so I think players like him and Shaqiri, if we can get him fit, and even Oxlade-Chamberlain, you know, coming back,
yeah,
you know, it's all hands to the pumps,
yeah,
and that's the way it's going to be all season, sadly. But fortunately, all teams are in the same boat.
Yeah, definitely.
Minamino's one, isn't he? I mean, Klopp just threw you a curveball, didn't he? Threw everyone a curveball prior to the Champions League game midweek. And it's like, yeah, he's been brilliant and saying he's been great for a few weeks. And you're like, well, he's guaranteed to start then, isn't he? Well, what's that Klopp saying? He's guaranteed to start against Brighton. I can't imagine it. I just can't see a scenario where he doesn't start the game against Atalanta, and therefore he's not in contention. No. That's just massaging his ego, making sure that, you know, in the press, speaking to people, he's talking about Minamino. You're not been forgotten about, mate. I still love you. I love what you're doing. But right now, you just might have to just sit on your hands a little bit here.
And we never know, you know, with the Origi stuff, it was mentioned in the final web pretty briefly, but, you know, about him being in the... You know, he, you want a better performance from him, because if he wants to move, he's putting himself in the shop window. Part of me, when I saw Origi in that starting 11, was like, maybe that's it. You know, you're putting Origi in the Champions League game because you're putting him back on show.
Well, plan backfired.
Well, no, absolutely. Didn't it just? But the thing is, like, there's just people will be on the lookout and go, oh, God, remember, difficult. He's fine. No, he's fit. Okay, well, he is available.
He's just shit.
Yeah, he's just shit. I'm sorry. He's not shit. We are just taking the piss.
Yeah, but the transfer window is coming up. So it is an interesting point, isn't it? Because we're talking about lack of bodies, and it's, you know, if Liverpool can get through the next 5 weeks or so, you know, with rotation, then the January transfer window's here. So,
yeah.
It's
true, isn't it? Sorry, just to move the conversation slightly, obviously it's been a while since I've really thought about this because Liverpool have never really messed up, and it's the wrong show really for talking about this, but like a massive oversight not having Nat Phillips in the Champions League squad. I know there was a reason for it. We thought he was going to go out and everything else. Like that's me on Championship Manager. Like yeah. I do that all the time.
When you sort it automatically.
Yeah, and don't and check. Don't check who's going to be there. Like or you sign someone in the January transfer window and you forget to register for the Premier League for the rest of the season.
The last time he was around for it, he was probably an under-21 and didn't need to register him anyway. Yeah. So you know what I mean?
But then so it does make me think, if we get through in the Champions League, do we get to register him again for the second part? Because you used to register again, didn't you, for the knockouts?
Yeah, well, yeah, that
he'll definitely be in the squad in the knockouts.
Well, or he'll be gone. You know, the point
we can't sell him. No, but unless we sign two centre backs.
No, but the point about the Nat Phillips stuff, and I think this game is going to be quite interesting because look, Brighton. I think Brighton are in a bit of a false position in the league. I think they've played better football. They've come close.
They should be ahead of City.
Yeah, just you know, they are 3 points behind Man City. It's worth pointing out they can close the gap on them with a win over us this weekend. But no, I think Brighton are better than it suggests. But that being said, you know, Sheffield United, we're seen as a good team. West Ham are seen as a good team as well.
The world's mad. 2020's mad, mate. Yeah, no, West Ham being seen as a good team. 2020's nuts.
But what I'm saying about Nat Phillips is that if he doesn't play in this game, then I think, you know, if we're choosing to be thin in midfield rather than using Nat Phillips, you know what I mean, in this game instead, then it's another indictment of where he maybe is as a footballer for us. But again, no sense in really thinking about the Minamino stuff. Is what I wanted to just to carry on with for a minute is that he's another one. I wonder whether, because you talked about him in training, Chris, I thought it was an interesting point to spark something in me there, that Klopp's talking about there's no training ground time at the moment. It's just play, recovery, little bit of tactic work on the board or whatever, and then they're into the next game. But has Taki been training for this game? Because that's what, you know, and that's maybe the one thing that
he might be the only one.
Yeah, with some lads in blue and white striped shirts on the new
everyone else has been on rest days, Monday, Tuesday rest day, Thursday, Friday rest day. Yeah. That's why, you know, the one thing that I did get right at midweek was the formation, because with no training time, I just think the 4-3-3 is the formation that we're going to have to play. And unless we have two recognised midfielders left, I think we will continue with that 4-3-3. But, yeah, you know, yes, Taki might have been looking at them, analysing, seeing where they have spaces or leave spaces on the field and seeing what he can do. But he ain't going to be working with the other lads.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
No, it is. And when it's one of them, no, I mean, again, the most obvious thing is that Minamino's on the bench, and there's actually still a chance he might not even be on the bench at this point. But I just do wonder, as an outside one, if we do see him used in a different role, that he's had the week, he's had more time to work in training on something different.
Yeah.
Well, if you're going to use him in a different way rather than play him in the
Yeah, you're right. And I suppose, I mean, I know what Klopp's used to do, and I don't know whether this is still the case, but he used to say, like, if you play more than 20 minutes, you get those rest days, which makes those 30-minute substitutes. Normally, I think he would give two rest days to those lads for playing 30, but I just wonder whether Jota, Firmino, Taki, they could have been working on drills together, the three of them, this week, knowing that they weren't going to play 90 minutes on Wednesday, knowing that maybe they were only going to get a short amount of time on the field. Maybe their rest day is one day and a day training, who knows? But it's been right back to the top. I don't think any of us really expect Minamino to start in this game, do we?
We all know it's likely to be a stronger. It's going to be three, probably either three from four of the front three and Jota, or three, you know, or all four. I think that's the only two.
The Shaqiri injuries really come at a really bad time this time around, hasn't it? Because he's just starting to convince everybody that you know he can be a big part of this squad. Yeah. And you know, that ball to Jota the other week, that, you know, he's a couple of assists. It's been a tough loss, and I didn't expect it to be a tough loss because
he helps make the 4-2-3-1 a bit more of a fit. Right, we need some score predictions from this one. Daz, what do you think it's going to be?
2-1 to us.
Okay. Interesting. Emma, what do you think?
1-0, Liverpool.
Yeah, I can't see this being a comfortable win for us, Chris. I think it is going to be it's probably going to be an odd goal sort of game. They continue to surprise us. What do you reckon?
3-0 to Liverpool.
Oh, go on.
I'm normally the more conservative of the two of us, yeah. But I think Liverpool bounce back. I think they'll be massively disappointed with the results, whether it's the same team or not. And Klopp's teams normally do bounce back. We don't normally have two bad results in a week. It's very rare. So I do think we come out and we see a bit more of a performance like we saw against Leicester last week than what we saw midweek against Atalanta.
Very interesting. Let us know your score predictions in the comments section underneath. Thank you so much to my wonderful panel of guests coming in from the four corners of the Northwest. It's been wonderful. If you've enjoyed the new format of the show, let us know in the comments. Do drop a like on this as well if you're on YouTube, and if you want more fantastic Liverpool content, do sign up to the redmentv.com. If you want to get your documentary fix, we've got you absolutely covered there. We've got two final word shows every single week. We've got the Reds News Roundup show in between, and we've got a back catalogue of incredible interviews with Liverpool legends, Liverpool managers, Liverpool players, and everything in between as well. Additionally, if you want to get yourself some amazing Christmas jumpers in sweatshirt form or t-shirts or mugs or brilliant Liverpool related gifts, there is some great Redmen merch available on our store right now. The Christmas stuff is there. Have a little look at this to see us out. Have a wonderful afternoon, and hopefully we can see the mighty Reds return to form against Brighton at the weekend.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.